Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Our friend Dean Phillips is here, the former congressman and frequent guest of this show, much to discuss. Dean is here, like our friend Jamie Ukas will be here at the bottom of the hour, both on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, let's start with today. 100 days of President Trump, term number two. Tell me, let's go this way. What has surprised you most about this second term?
Chad, do we have a few hours?
I was going to say, I'm willing to get an old-fashioned and let you answer here.
Well, in that case, I got to say, it's some days it feels like 100 years. Some days it feels like yesterday this round two started. And as I've said on your show before, Chad, I can't help but agree with a lot of the objectives as relates to trade, even some immigration reform and the like, and certainly cutting government waste and streamlining and creating efficiencies. But what has surprised me more than anything else is the lack of a clear and comprehensive and transparent strategy. We are a democracy, and if people are not there on the takeoff, they will not be there on the landing. And I think there are a lot of Democrats that with a thoughtful strategy to address some of these things would actually be partners in this work. So I think what's most disappointing and surprising is the lack of a strategy. It seems like a shotgun approach. We have people like Secretary of Defense Hegseth, just making mistake after mistake in such a consequential role, and other people who are simply not qualified for some of the most important jobs, certainly in this country, if not around the globe. So that's disappointing. It's disconcerting. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed, Chad, because this winter, Christmas time, I think we are going to see inflation and prices that will make the Biden years look glorious. And that's just the truth.
I want to get to the tariffs in a moment. Actually, I can just tie into this answer. He's just so impulsive. And he's lived that life constantly. Right, in his personal life, in his professional life, even his political life. And I get that he ran on some of these issues. But again, on immigration, did he run on the idea that he's going to just look and pay no attention to court rulings? No. Yes, on tariffs. And again, I'll add before the texters start, did Joe Biden keep some of the tariffs that Donald Trump had installed? Yes, but none of those tariffs were this scattershot, non-fact driven or changing from day to day. I mean, even today, and it's a good announcement that he's easing a little bit on auto tariffs. Why couldn't this have happened right at the start? Where is the method? And now, what are we, like 20-some days or so into this 90-day pause, and we keep hearing, he was mentioning 200 deals. Why not announce? Yeah. How about 100 of them? I mean, show people that progress is being made, and then the market, which he acts like he doesn't care about, but we both know he cares immensely about, would surge. But it's the last person in the room. It's somebody tweets at him. It's how he interprets something, and that's how he reacts. And you can't be the CEO of our country acting that way.
You know, in fact, Chad, I come from the private sector and a private family business in the private sector. And I've seen firsthand how differently public companies, corporations are managed because they do have accountability to shareholders, to a board of directors, and to the market. Private companies do not. And the Trump Organization, of course, as private as they get, declared bankruptcy a number of times. And he's managing our country like his private business, without consequence, without accountability. And I think in his mind, that's just how he does it.
Yeah.
But he's not reckoning with a system that has been in place for over two centuries to prevent this exact type of American leadership. And having spent time with this president, I can tell you firsthand, his decision making is not necessarily what's in the best interest of the United States of America. It is based on what's in the best interest of Donald Trump. And if you kiss the ring and you celebrate him and you invite him and you schmooze him, he will probably get rid of your tariffs. That's not how this should work.
No. Well, even today, you know, they've started having earlier morning press briefings, which is fine. And Amazon is ready to unveil this policy of here's the price because of tariffs. And the press secretary, after talking to the president, comes out and is highly critical, calls it a hostile and political act. Well, guess what happens? The president gets on the phone with Jeff Bezos, and what does Bezos and Amazon do? They backpedal. They backpedal because they're afraid of drawing his wrath. And there are plenty of presidents who were combustible and I'm sure weren't real pleasant behind the scenes. But with Donald Trump, it's if you treat me, as you just alluded to, in a very favorable way, which means, by the way, you praise me and you go along with my policies, I'm going to look out for you. But if you have the temerity to say something different, you're an enemy of the country. And what's different this time, Dean, a lot of these law firms and universities, they're so afraid of his power, instead of standing up, they're just going along with him. They've decided that's the better way to go.
By the way, and Chad, that is a metaphor for what's going on in the United States Congress on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
You.
Yes.
Now live in a culture of fear, political fear. The president is the leader of the pack. And now we have members of Congress duly elected to represent their constituents in this country who are far more focused on their self-preservation. And look, we're human beings. And when we see rewards accruing to those who play by certain rules and punishments afforded to those who don't, most people will go along with the former. And that's what I'm seeing now in the U.S. Congress, a fear of the far right and far left bases, and certainly a fear of Donald Trump personally amongst Republicans. And these are people, Chad, who I've spoken with you about that I do believe to be principled and care deeply about this country. And I see them acting like cowards in the face of this man. And I don't get it. And it's pathetic and it's dangerous. And I think the companies and the universities and the law firms and the individuals who see injustice must band together. That's the American way, which is unfortunately what Donald Trump is dismantling right now. It's the cooperation of like-minded, values-driven people, countries, organizations, companies that must work together to reject some of these propositions that I think are not just unconstitutional, but downright dangerous. And the cowardice is Trump.
Yeah, it is very troubling. Let's put Dean on hold, come back, because there's a lot of negative Trump polling, but that doesn't mean there's a lot of positive polling about his party. And Dean was just alluding to it, the further left of his party, that's still driving it. And that's not where Dean Phillips stands, certainly not where I stand. And we just see more of a divide in our country where a lot of, I don't know what it is. Is it 40, 50, 60% of the country saying, what about us? Also want to hear what Dean has to say about Angie Craig and why she announced a Senate run today and not Dean Phillips, as an example. Back with the former congressman in moments. I want to talk Pella right now. And the timing is right because one of my Pella contacts literally was calling me just as we were going to break, because we're going to talk and we're going to work on a little more social media for what's coming up in my life. I've lived in a house since the aughts with Pella windows and doors. Was it the only reason why I picked the house? Of course not. But when I found out they had Pella windows and doors, made the house more attractive. The house is still great, and part of the reason why that house is better. Now I'm going to move. I'm allowed to move. If you stay somewhere a long time, you finally want to move. They made a number of changes in my house, primarily my kitchen, and my house is just better because of the ingenuity, the creativity. When I had PellaNorthland.com, Pella Windows and Doors, come out to my house like they'll come out to your place for a free, no obligation visit. Cost you nothing. I'm going to another place, and I made sure that with this place, guess what? Pella Windows and Doors. You want to have that visit? Great. You want to go to one of their showrooms? That's fantastic. And this is a company celebrating 100 years in business. Where are the showrooms? Convenient. Two locations, opposite sides of the metro area, Plymouth and Woodbury. For one more day, here's your deal. $750 off your Pella project and 0% APR for 12 months. Go today. Trust me, you'll like it. PellaNorthland.com. Okay, most of the time,
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
If you have one party and a lot of negative numbers, as the president has right now, that would mean the opposite party, the Democrats, would have very positive numbers. As you know, sir, this is Dean Phillips. That's not true. Your party still has very negative numbers, and the two people drawing the most attention right now when they're out on the road drawing 10, 20, 30,000, Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who are about as left as you get in your party. Is that where your party's headed the next couple of years?
Chad, I was on CNN last night and watched Senator Sanders criticize Senator Alyssa Slotkin, Democrat from Michigan, for asking him to tone down the rhetoric about oligarchies. And the words he used against his fellow Democratic Senator Slotkin from Michigan, I thought was just reprehensible, because nobody is closer to the heartbeat of America than Alyssa Slotkin. Deeply difficult district she represented in the Congress from Michigan. She and I came in together in 2018, an intelligence background, principled, smart, tough, and knows how to win races by inviting Democrats and Republicans. And here, Senator Sanders, who is well past his prime, should have been retired years ago, and is now on this mission around the country to further distance Democrats from the mainstream of America. So when you ask that question,
and having success, country, right?
And having success, well, yes, yeah, success, Chad, but amongst a what I would argue is a very small, cross section of the political population in the United States. And the fact of the matter is, center right and center left Americans are not buying that, and they're not buying the far right elements of the Trump agenda either. So no, do I think that AOC and Bernie Sanders are the most effective faces for Democratic success in the future? No. Do they have the right to do it? Yes. But the real question is, you know, where are the others? You know, where are the people who were so quiet during the Biden decline, who are now the arsonists running to the fire? But I don't see much happening from anyone but AOC and Bernie. And as a result, they will become the Democratic brand, much to the chagrin of many Democrats. And I think just as Trump has become the Republican brand, much to the chagrin of principled conservatives. And therein lies the need, I think, for a third party.
So I fully expect a Josh Shapiro, a Gretchen Whitmer, a Wes Moore to run. At least two of the three to run for the presidency. They're just waiting. It's too early. In the end, when you decided to run last year, you just told the truth. You told it first here on this show, and you told it elsewhere, that Joe Biden just wasn't up for running again. It was time for a generational change. And to be honest, some people just lie to us. I mean, there's no other way to say it. They tell us that he's a magician. He's Einstein behind the scenes, and then he was invisible, and we knew then, and we know now, it just wasn't the truth. If names don't jump in again, would you consider running for president once again?
Well, you know, Chad, I think that electoral politics is probably in the past for me. I'm much more interested in affecting the system and creating competition, ensuring that there is a strong and principled conservative party in America and a strong and principled progressive party in America, and that both of those parties have at least a moderate centrist party. I think that's in the country's best interest. So I never close the door. I never say never. And just as I did in 2024, it wasn't my inclination to run. I did so in the absence of anybody else doing it. And I think the names you just mentioned are really promising ones. You know, Barack Obama came out of nowhere in 2008 after Democrats had a tough few years, took on the Democratic institution and Hillary Clinton, as you well know, and succeeded. I think that could happen again. But in the meantime, a little hard to be a Democrat watching just AOC and Bernie barnstorm the country, further giving the brand a reputation of being far left, when I think the reality is a Governor Shapiro and Governor Moore and even Governor Pritzker, who's kind of elevating his game, Governor Whitmer. You know, those are the ones that I think should be making their cases right now, not just criticizing Trump, by the way. People are sick and tired of it. Making a proposition for the future. How are we going to solve these problems? You know, why did we lose working class Americans, young men? Why? Instead of criticizing Trump, that is not a strategy. So I hope we see that soon. I never say never. And I do hope to play some role in pushing my party to recognize that in the United States, you got to win elections by winning the majority, period.
So let's stay with the third party conversation, which we've had many times before. What is realistic? To be honest, I'd love multiple more parties. Give people more of a chance, end these monopolies, which the Democrats and Republicans are, and run by the extremists. What is realistic? What are you doing now? And if somebody's listening right now and thinking, okay, when is a party viable enough on all the ballots and can put up candidates, and it's not just to get 4 or 5%, but it's to get 15, 20, 25%. What sort of timeline is that?
Well, you know, I think too often, Chad, people, when they hear this conversation about a third party, they think that means winning the White House next time. And, you know, that's almost an impossibility, short of a perfect moment, perfect storm, and perfect celebrity candidate. You know, I would argue that a more methodical, strategic, and long-term approach is necessary, in which you identify specific seats in Congress. By the way, the 3rd District in Minnesota, the 2nd District in Minnesota, Angie Craig's district, and we're going to speak about her, I think, in a moment.
Yep.
You know, those are examples of districts that favor common sense, reason, decency, experience, and competency. And I think a party that offers candidates that fit that mold in those districts, the handful that remain in this country, would do very well. So the idea is not to win the presidency. It's to win maybe a couple House seats, maybe a Senate seat. And then that small group becomes the most powerful party in America, because with the tight majorities in both the House and Senate, a couple members here and a couple there make a huge difference. But more than that, it's the symbolism and the principle of competition. And the fact is, this duopoly has prevented, they actually made the rules, Chad,
yes,
to prevent third parties from doing well.
Exactly.
You know, when Ross Perot did well back in the 1990s, they literally worked together to change laws throughout the country to make it harder.
Yeah.
And that's just absolutely asinine and counter patriotism, if you ask me. So
100%.
That's how I look at it. Canada, of course, had an election last night. They have multiple parties. Most countries have multiple parties. In America, we have multiple brands in every industry, except perhaps the most important one, which is our political industry.
On this show, I think it might have even been the day Tina Smith announced she wasn't running for re-election. You said right away, I want Angie Craig. You thought Angie Craig was the right selection. She announces today she's in. To me, she's the favorite. Peggy Flanagan is a name. Peggy Flanagan is going to get more of the left vote. She could win the nomination. I just think Angie Craig has a much better chance to win the race. I'll be curious if the Republicans actually put somebody up who has a chance to win, because it's been a while since they did that. Why do you believe in Craig so much?
Well, first of all, I know Angie very well. I've worked with every member of our delegation, Democrats and Republicans. I think more highly of some than others on both sides of the aisle, I should say. But Angie represents, I think, the broad cross-section of Minnesota and our country. You know, she is not a far leftist. She is a principled, pragmatic, thoughtful, smart, strong, progressive, but a business person. And I say that because it's not that you have to own a business, run a business, be a lifelong business person, but to not understand how the private sector operates, to be subject to the very laws being passed in Congress and state houses around the country, that deficiency is becoming very glaring on city councils and in state houses and in the U.S. Congress. And I think her business experience is incredibly important. The fact that she became the ranking member, the Democratic lead of the House Agriculture Committee in just 6 years, is astounding, and it really does speak to her ability to get things done. The third thing, Chad, is she represents a district that is deeply, deeply moderate and competitive,
mm-hmm.
Just like
sure.
her district was when I first ran. And I say that because that forces people like Angie Craig and me and others to represent your constituents by reason and common sense. And when you have candidates now on the far right, the far left, by definition, they're not representing the broad swath. Angie Craig does. She's smart. I said it on day one. I say it again. I fully and wholeheartedly endorse her. And I think she and Amy Klobuchar together would make a heck of a Minnesota tandem and get things done for some time to come. So I encourage everybody listening to look very carefully at Angie Craig's candidacy, because I think she's tremendous.
My guy Dave picks out a bumper music theme every day, and he picked out a Jeep today because often when Angie's offering up commercials and wants, like all politicians, yourself included, to seem relatable, she's in a Jeep. She's by a yep. Jeep. Have you ever had the opportunity to ride in Angie Craig's Jeep? I think that's the pressing yes. question we need to know.
Yes, I was in Angie's Jeep in a parade once in Minnesota. Angie is, you know, I mean, you know, what listeners probably don't recognize is that, you know, when you serve in Congress, it's kind of like, almost like college. You know, you fly back to school after a break, or you drive back to school.
Kaggers.
And, you know, if someone's got their car at the airport, you know, they give you a ride back to
yep.
campus. I've done that with my Republican colleagues in Minnesota. They've done it for me.
Yep.
There's so many really nice little stories like that. Angie's driven me, you know, from the airport home. I did it with Jim Hagedorn in the past, you know, and so many others. And I think, you know, those are the great little stories, riding in one of these politicians' cars, because it makes them kind of human. And she's got a pretty cool Jeep, by the way. I'm a little jealous.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Anytime, Chad. Have a good one.
Dean Phillips, Jamie Yuccas next. Hello. How are you?
Hello.
So, Dave.
Usually you have like something more to say than just hello. So I was waiting.
Yeah, I know. I figured I need to. Normally I jump right in. Kind of
yeah.
That's the idea.
You kind of scared me. Is everything all right?
Yeah. No, but that's another topic. No, things are very,
okay.
Things are very, very good, actually. So, Dave found a story and it was tied to his morning. Dave, tell people what time you woke up today.
4:30.
4:30. Why did you do that?
Because I wanted to.
Wow, la-di-da. Yeah. That's sleeping in, man.
Yeah, I know. That's why I saved this for you. Why did you do this?
Because I wanted to live the Jamie Yuccas experience. No, I've been doing it once, twice a week for, you know, 6-7 months now, trying to get at least one early morning workout in because I know what my life is like and days are like with the two kids and running to activities and trying to get a little active, stay healthy.
It's a lot harder for you to do any sort of physical activity later in the day.
Yes, I'm running around with the kids. Oftentimes my wife is working her second job in the evenings, coaching a swim club, so I'm the taxi service.
So, and there are a lot of people, Jamie, who feel like this shows how I seize the day. Like more people are like, some people just don't need as much sleep, and they can seize it. Whether it's workout, that's when they start working. That's when they start doing family stuff. You, for a lot of your adult life, have had no choice because guess what? I'm on at 4:30 in the morning, so I'm getting up at 2:30. What time now in L.A. are you getting up?
Well, so I don't know if anybody saw, but I did a piece on Beyonce starting here in Los Angeles.
La-di-da.
So I was up this morning. I didn't go to the show, for the record. I just did some quick little man on the street interviews, as they say.
Yep.
And some of them didn't even end up in the piece, but that's okay.
Maybe not.
I did not see the show. It's okay. It's all right. But I did have to get up at 2:30 this morning to track that piece. So I actually used to have to get up earlier here on the West Coast when I did network live hits because it's just the nature of how it works with, East Coast to West Coast. And then, so now on a regular morning, I'm usually up by 4 a.m.
4 a.m.
Yeah.
When you've had other jobs, when you haven't had to do that, how different does your body feel? Or have you just become so accustomed to getting up so early? Because I get that you adjust, but it's not good for you.
No. Hello?
Yeah, no, we're here.
Okay. Sorry. I think, the interesting thing to me is I used to have to get up at 2:30 in the morning every single day when I was in Minneapolis. And I ate the same, drank the same, did the same types of stuff, would try to take a nap just to have the sleep work itself out. And I put on like 12 to 15 pounds. And then I moved to New York and I was able to like do a regular schedule and sleep pretty, because I was on East Coast time for the East Coast shows, which were then, started at 7.
Right.
So even if I had to get up for the morning show, it wasn't until like 6 half the time. So I like lost the 12 to 15 pounds. So it's like I think it not only disrupts, like just your mental well-being, but it does physically just take a toll on you too of like screwing with your hormones and, just the rest that you need to kind of get your muscles and things to kind of do what you want them to do. It's, it's not great.
No, it's not. Dave, you read the same story. You found it, right? There are just a lot of people, like the CEOs, like what for decades is the successful CEO.
Yeah.
You know what you do to be like me, and maybe it's a book or whatever. It's get up at 4.
Yes. Just crank out emails for 2 hours.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Work. Now there are more people believe in it. Listen, if you can do it,
no worries.
You do you.
Well, but I think everyone is built differently too, to be honest. Because like my husband is a night owl and can stay up, he can stay up so much later than I ever could. Even if I was getting 9 hours of sleep a night, I wouldn't want to stay up to the hours that he does, right? But I naturally am a morning person. So like I said, 6 a.m., like even 5:30, 6 a.m., that feels pretty good to me. Like, I can do that no problem. And, but I'm going to bed by, 10.
Yeah, I'm more like Doug. That's why when I was broadcasting the Wolves for as long as I did, and so often we'd get into towns at, weird times at night, I could put up with it easier. In an ideal world for me, I would stay up, I think, to 1, 2, and then get up like more 8, 9. because of right. Quentin and because of when I want to do the show. Now, this is tied to my insomnia, too, right, where I'm tossing and turning. But what I'm talking about when I'm staying up till 1, it's on my own. I'm doing things. I'm enjoying it as opposed to I'm flipping and flopping. But you bring up an interesting point with relationships, though. When you have people, because, you know, we're all trying to find ways to come together, accept differences. When you have a couple, and when they can be so diametrically different with mornings and evening, that can be a challenge, right?
It can. I feel like what's nice is that on the weekend, I'm still a morning person, but I don't have to get up at 4:30, right? So I do find myself, I'll stay up a little bit later than I might like to stay up, but it's nice because we're talking or maybe we're watching a movie or have a glass of wine or whatever. And then I'll get up at, 7 instead of 6.
Yep.
But I'm still getting up, and then I go work out, or I walk the dog, or I clean up, downstairs or whatever, and Doug sleeps like an extra hour. So it's like I'll stay up an extra hour, he sleeps in an extra hour. I think you just kind of have to find your balance.
Mm-hmm. And a little absence from each other, not a bad idea.
No. I think, to be honest, like the whole absence makes the heart grow fonder. I actually don't, there's plenty of times I was on the road that I wanted to be home, and it was, I don't think it's always great, but I do think, I always think, people should have their own ability to do their own stuff.
100%.
Like Dave going to work out at 4:30, once a week. He should, that's great. Go have your time to yourself. I think everyone needs time to themselves to process things.
That's the thing. If one or both of you is traveling a lot, so you're literally not at your apartment or condo or house together, that's different. But there are just some couples that we all know where sometimes it's guy, sometimes it's gal. It's like, what are we doing today? What are we doing today?
Yeah.
What are we doing today? And again, if you're not seeing your partner, 80% of the time, we got big trouble in the dynamic. But the idea that there's enough trust, that each of you has enough independence that you can do your own things and still don't compromise the time you're together. For me, that's just a way better way to go. I mean, that's how I have to live.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, now Beyonce. Can I switch to Beyonce before we run out of time here? Okay, now there have been some reports that Queen Bee's shows, the ticket sales weren't as great as they hoped because, big places, high ticket prices, L.A. is a great place to start. How did the ticket sales go?
Well, so it's interesting. We ran a story yesterday that you could go last night for as little as $46, which I think if you're somebody who paid the $600 to $1,000, you're a little annoyed that happened, right? Now, are the seats great? No. Do you get to say I saw Beyonce? Yes. So I know for me, it's actually, I've got a couple friends, speaking of spending time apart from your partner, I have a girlfriend who said, would you want to go? And I said, if you want to go, I'll go. It's definitely not something Doug cares to do. So, great. That would probably be the only way I'd go. So even the Friday night show is listed at about $80. I just also do think it speaks to where people's heads are at with the economy. If you think
I agree.
Taylor Swift, where it was I still got this COVID money, or I've got, whatever, YOLO, we're just coming out of the pandemic. Of course, everybody was spending all this money to go to the stuff that I think now people are well, I don't know. Do I need to sit in section 500 for $400? Nah.
Yeah, I think that's all 100% correct. I think Taylor's probably at such a different level, but we have so many concerts now where the prices are so extraordinarily high. They're just so high. You're just asking for huge sections of people who love either Beyonce or fill in the blank, a singer or an act, to say, I just can't do that. And I think long term, it's a major mistake.
Yeah, and I think, I do too. Well, they've called her pricing something like Beyonce's, dynamic pricing is what they did. I don't really fully understand what that means. Does that mean, if I want to be in on the hype, I pay a lot. And if I want to wait it out, I don't pay a lot. Like, what is...
Well, a lot of dynamic pricing in sports used to be that the prices could change depending upon if a big-name team is coming to town or if a team that you didn't think was going to be as good and they're pretty good or another team drops. So the prices could change. I don't know how that works with just an act, though.
Well, I mean, the other thing is I talked to some friends who went last night. I had some friends who came in from out of town that went to the show. And, you know, they were saying it's one of those things that, like, with Taylor, she does all these things where it's like, oh, I was at this concert where she pulled this person up on stage.
Right.
Or
it's unique.
This happened or that happened. You know, my friends were like, we really wanted to see Beyonce, and like, we were also like, wanted to get out of Portland, Oregon in the springtime and come to LA for some sunshine. So it worked out. But they're like, we don't really expect Beyonce to be doing anything that crazy. Like, she's an amazing performer and like, so on top of everything. But they're like, she's so. I think now some of these shows, it's like you have to have an experience with it to kind of make it worth it. You know, you can't just see the name.
Exactly. All right, we got to go. We're eating into Jason's time, and he's not going to be happy.
Whatever.
Yeah.
To Russia?
Yeah.
Oh, let's keep chatting.
Yeah.
What? How's the weather there?
Sunny, 55, and Jason's, you know, gramming all the time. He's Mr. Graham. He's become
Mr. Graham. He's Mr. Substack. He's Mr. X.
He's everywhere.
Mr. Facebook. I can't keep up.
He's omnipresent. We got to go. See ya.
Bye.
Jamie Yuccas here on CCO.